And I think it makes sense with what we're battling with COVID-19. We've really been taken into a space that we were not prepared for. And I feel our lifestyles were not ones that would complement good immunity to survive such a time.
Yes, that is so true. That is so true. But, you know, we don't know as communities, people are not aware that just eating healthy helps you in so many other different ways.
Mm.
Because if, for instance, this season had caught you malnourished, you know, malnutrition can be either you are underweight or you are overweight or obese. Being overweight in our culture means that you are happy, you eat well, and what have you, but it is not necessarily healthy because it leads to other problems, you know, to other conditions that are known as non-communicable diseases or diseases of lifestyle. Because you are overweight or obese, you are at risk of having a hypertension or a heart condition. And also, because you are underweight, you are at risk of key micronutrients. Even when you are obese, actually, you can be deficient, you know, of key micronutrients that are good for your body and for your immune system.
One of the major nutritional concerns during the COVID-19 pandemic, though.
What are they?
The major nutritional concerns during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the major concerns, obvious. Okay, they are not obvious, but you know, research shows us that malnutrition is a problem. Malnutrition is a problem. As I'd mentioned, malnutrition means under or over.
And is reduced physical activity also something that we should be concerned about, considering that we were confined to our homes, we couldn't exercise, and if I'm trying to then work on being of proper weight, for lack of a better word, and I'm obese, then there wasn't much that I could do in that space.
Yes. Okay, during that time, yes, you are so right. People did not have the opportunity to do physical exercise, and people were confined at home. But there was also a very positive aspect during this time of COVID, that we were all preparing food from home. And this should have been an opportunity that we take, you know, moving forward. Now, us as dietitians, assisting and recommending food choices that are healthy.
All right. So to what extent was food insecurity and undernutrition a problem in South Africa prior to COVID-19?
Prior to COVID-19, food insecurity, South Africa actually doesn't have a food insecurity at a national level. But when you come to household level, you find that there are households that run without food. So when you look at the stats closely, we find that you know, food insecurity is still there in our country, as much as South Africa is taken to be one of those countries that can afford.
All right. You know, you mentioned non-communicable diseases. And I don't know if I'm the only person who thinks that's a new word for me. What is non-communicable diseases?
Non-communicable diseases are those diseases that are not infectious. Yes. I also made an example. I said, in other words, they are diseases of lifestyle. They are non-communicable. They don't cause infection. They are not transmitted from one person to the other.
Because we need clarity on these things. Sometimes we keep quiet and we act like we know what it is. And then someone says you have a non-communicable disease, and then, hey, I'm offended. Why would say, you know, because I don't understand what a non-communicable disease is.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes, that is so true. But just to go back to your question of food insecurity, by 2017, at household level, 20% of South Africans were food insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.
So I can imagine that maybe things got a little worse, you know, during the COVID-19 period, as far as, you know, food insecurity is on a lower level.
Yes, things became, you know, even worse because people lost their jobs. So people can no longer afford food. And then also food production also became a problem, even though food production was you know, people that produce food could still could still continue farming, but because there was not enough income, they were not generating income. A lot of people were laid off from work, and and there were so many problems. That were in sectors that went on lockdown lost their jobs.
Yes.
So household food insecurity came for sure became quite worse.
Now that you know, the gyms are open, the restaurants are also open, you know, how does obesity and or non-communicable diseases affecting people with COVID-19? Because I feel now we have an opportunity to do something about it, but we want to know, how is it affecting people with COVID-19?
Okay. Let me put it this way. There is a lot of reports that show us, you know, worldwide, that show us that most of the people that died from COVID-19 were those with comorbidities. And comorbidities include non-communicable diseases like your hypertension, like your diabetes, heart conditions, and so many, you know,
lifestyle diseases.
All those lifestyle diseases. So all those people with those conditions were at a higher risk of dying than those that didn't have. And those people that were at healthy weight and were healthy, their immune system was obviously good for them to be able to survive the pandemic. And those that were underweight as well, obviously their immune system is also compromised. So they were also at risk of dying.
All right. So now that we know that we definitely need to get back to the gym and not consume as much fast foods as we would prefer, especially having had the restaurants closed for so long, are there specific foods or nutrients that can help then to boost immunity?
Yes. There are no specific foods that boost immunity. So what I'm trying to say here, you know, during the pandemic, everybody was going for ginger, everybody was going for vitamin C, everybody. That is not enough to have a good immune system. We need to consume a variety of foods because the body needs the variety of all those micronutrients, all those vitamins and minerals from a variety of foods. So what is important is that we consume a variety of whole foods versus foods that are highly processed, because those foods that are highly processed have got less nutrients.
So by home food, you would mean homegrown?
Yes. I mean whole foods.
Whole,
Whole.
I thought you said home. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Whole foods. And mostly, you know, those that are grown at home that we can even grow in our own gardens. Starchy foods that we can grow in our own gardens. Vegetables and fruits that we can grow in our own gardens. Those are very important. Consuming legumes for protein, we don't necessarily need red meat to be particular, in particular.
Mm.
But if we can't afford red meat, we can also consume legumes. And when we talk legumes, we're talking about your beans,
mm.
your beans, your lentils, your dal, for those that consume dal,
mm.
sweet peas, and so forth. Those are quite high in protein as well. So the take-home message is to consume a variety. Try to consume very little of the processed foods, because processed foods are normally high in sugar content and also in salt content. All those ingredients assist to make them thirsty, because they are not their original.
Mm-hmm.
They are quite highly processed. And also, consuming clean, safe water is key compared to these drinks which are high in sugar content.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those are the recommendations that I would love to share with the listeners.
So for someone who does not have a garden, you know, someone who's renting, who says, okay, I can't plant something in my backyard, but I'd like to know, when going to the shops, what is it that I should consider? What are the important points to consider when buying food?
Okay. It's important to buy those whole wheat foods. Bread, you buy brown or whole wheat bread instead of white bread.
Mm.
Brown rice instead of white rice.
Mm.
And there's also now brown, what you call pasta, you know. There is also high fiber pasta that is available at the market. So those are the few examples. And lots of fresh fruits and vegetables instead of the ones that are processed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are also vegetables that are in the tin for those that, might not have time to go and buy every time, but we encourage consumers to read their labels, you know, to check the sugar and the salt content of these foods that are packaged. But fresh, the priority, the Rolls Royce, is your fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. And your frozen vegetables, most of them also are quite okay.
I was about to ask, because I'm a fan of the frozen.
Yes, yeah, no, they are also fine.
All right. No, thank you very much, Sis Andisa. Because of time, I'm going to have to cut you right there. But I think I am not far off. We just need to improve here and there and then start getting a lot more active.
That is right. Healthy lifestyle means eating healthy, physical activity, avoid smoking, sleep well, you know, have enough sleep, and try to reduce the amount of stress.
All right. Thank you very much, Sis Andisa. Please enjoy the rest of your evening.
Okay. Thank you so much. And thank you to the listeners as well. Good evening. Bye.
Bye. That was registered dietitian and spokesperson of Association for Dietetics in South Africa, Sis Andisa Ngaka, speaking on some of the things that we need to note, especially it being National Nutrition and Obesity Week. So sifunzile manje ukuthi asiqale kudinaka lokunatsanatha malemane neginger. It's not going to help if you're not changing your entire lifestyle to boost immunity and ensure ukuthi even if you do get COVID-19, at least you survive. It's Brian Temba, the love song, Graz FM.